Self-absorbed beer show from coast to coast and every once in a while in between.
Hey, I'm Dylan, brewer at Cape Ann Brewery, and you're listening to the Beer Coaster.
Hi, my name is Peter Zion. I'm the owner of Alesmith Brewing Company here in beautiful San Diego, and Beer Coasters rocks.
My name is Charles Finkel, and I'm the founder and the president of the Pike Brewing Company here in Seattle. I'm glad to be on the Beer Coaster.
Blah, 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 I want my beer, damn it!
Hello, and welcome to the Beer Coasters podcast, episode 299, season 7. An entirely self-absorbed beer show devoted to bringing you the best and the worst in mostly American craft beer from coast to coast. And every once in a while, in between. I am your host this week. My name is Tony. I am calling in from Hartford, Connecticut. And joining me is...
This is Toby in San Diego, California.
Nice. Little, we are legit coast to coast this week.
And we're so legit, we got Tony hosting, so...
Hey now.
We're too legit to quit, really.
Too legit to quit. In fact... We're not going to quit. We're going to have a beer. Why don't you join us? Pop a squat.
Yeah, join us. Yeah.
So this is our annual Beers Ball 2 show, where we like to nod to America's pastime and have a beer that's related to the good old game of baseball.
Yeah.
So, Toby, what are you drinking? What are you bringing tonight to the table?
Oh, and since we're not doing we're not doing anything on YouTube in this episode, but we are donned in some baseball paraphernalia. I got my old school Padres cap on.
Yeah, I think I saw that on Dave Winfield's head a long time ago.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Classic little throwback there.
Well, actually, 80s Padres colors.
I got a little throwback. Yankees going on here.
Oh, yeah.
Little slanted symbol there with my Jorge Posada jersey. So for you listeners checking this out, just close your eyes and just imagine the Yankee garb and the Padres garb, and it's like you're in the room with us right now.
Yeah, it's like an interleague game, you know? Or
yeah.
We don't get to see each other very often, but here we are.
So, we got some beers to drink. So, Toby, what are you drinking tonight?
I will be drinking, since to go along with my old school Padres hat here, my Padres theme, I am going to be drinking Alesmith Brewing Company's Imperial San Diego Pale Ale. It's the Hall of Fame version of the 394 Pale Ale that they did in honor of the late, great Tony Gwynn. So I will be drinking that in honor of one of my favorite ball players of all time. So, yeah.
Very cool. Taken too soon from us. Don't do drugs, kids.
Don't chew.
Don't chew. Yeah. Don't chew. Just don't even start. I will be drinking Victory Brewing's Summer Love, season of flavor of the season, they call it. And it's got a guy that's swinging a baseball bat on the front there. We got a baseball. We got some ice cream, some ketchup, some fireworks, all hot dogs on the label there.
America!
America! This is America's beer. America's pastime. America's beer. And that's Victory Brewing. So, yeah. Let's say we get right to it. What do you think?
All right.
You want to go first?
Yeah, please. That'd be great. Right. Since you're hosting, geez. Back off. Too legit. Too legit to quit. Too legit. Too legit to quit.
Cobbler San Diego, Beer Coaster, Toby.
So, this is Toby out west in San Diego, and for my Beers Ball show beer, I am trying the Alesmith Brewing Company's Hall of Fame Imperial San Diego Pale Ale. Now, this is an Imperial version of the 394 Pale Ale that came out. 394 is Tony Gwynn's career batting average, which is amazing in itself right there. Which, by the way, on a side note, that the if you do happen to get a bottle of the 394, I highly recommend it. I mean, it's a pale ale. It's a little bit on the hoppy side for a pale ale, but it's excellent. I was actually, I think I've mentioned this on the show before, that I was actually pleasantly surprised. I didn't have much faith in Alesmith or whatever, but you know when those kind of beers come out where it's like, hey, a baseball player had some input on this beer, you know, how much, I didn't know that Tony Gwynn was into beer, you know, so what does he know about beer? But it ended up being very, very good, well-made, very nice pale ale. Really liked it.
Nice.
So this is apparently an Imperial version of that. It comes in at 9% ABV, and I believe all the proceeds to this beer go to the Tony Gwynn Museum that they're going to be opening. I don't know if it's open yet or will be opening soon here in San Diego. Okay. I don't really have much in the way of ingredients on this because they don't really have anything on their website about this. Okay. You can kind of find it at different blog. There's some blog posts. West Coaster SD has done a blog post about it, which I'll link on our on the text version on our website for this show. I'll put a link to this beer as much as I can find about it. But let me go ahead and crack it. It's foiled. This is a 750.
It's fancy.
Yes, it's got some gold foil here. Tony's buzzing.
I'm buzzing.
He's buzzing, buddy.
Yeah, Alesmith is one of those beers that it seems like every time, well, we don't get them in Connecticut, but every time I'm out of state, I always try to pick up an Alesmith. Speedway Stout is usually a great one to have around the winter season.
That one's it's pretty solid.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I haven't had too many Alesmiths, but the ones that I have had have been pretty good. It's a beautiful sound.
Yes. So upon pour, ooh, got some particulates floating around in there. I got about a Yeti finger of off-white head.
That's the Yeti finger. Is it the equivalent of one Brufus sausage finger, or?
Yes, pretty close.
A little bigger than a Brufus sausage finger.
Yeah. color is it's like a light orange color, kind of a light honey type color, and yeah, there's some particulates kind of floating around in there. Some decent carbonation.
Looks nice
on the nose. Whoa, big and fruity.
Mm.
Yeah, lots of citrus. I get lots of orange and peach. I mean, it just smells like fruit. There's a little bit of a kind of a doughy breadiness in there.
Now, I know Tony Gwynn was known for his batting average and his consistent singles, but this beer might be, wait for it, a home run.
Possibly. You know, he did win 8 National League batting titles.
He did?
Yep.
I'm looking up, looks like he's like 18th on the all-time list. Something like that.
Ted Williams, which is one of the greatest hitters of all time, has said that Tony is like one of the greatest hitters of all time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was. You look at like, he's up there, batting average, he's up there with like Lou Gehrig. Ted Williams, Babe Ruth. I mean, there are not many people that we know of that are up there on that list, and he's when you see those names next to his, you know that it's something to be something to respect.
But so yeah, on the nose, I'm just getting. It's like it's almost like a cobbler. There's like a peach and orange, and this kind of doughy something in there. It smells amazing.
Nice.
Now I'm starting to get a little bit of pininess is starting to poke through. All right. Oh, did I say the ABV is 9%? So not too bad. Taking a sip. Cheers.
Nice. Cheers.
Taking a sip, yeah! It's very... Well, a lot of those fruity flavors do come through, so I do still get a little bit of orange, peach, apricot. It's not as, thick as I thought it was going to be. The mouthfeel is pretty nice. There's not a whole lot of carbonation, and there's not a whole lot of super thick sweetness, so it comes off as a pretty clean double. But you can kind of tell it has a lot of big bold flavors though, so you can kind of tell that it is a double.
I mean, for 9%, you should taste the alcohol. But you said it's kind of sneaky like that?
Well, we'll see. Yeah, I'm not... I mean, it kind of feels like a double, but it doesn't have... It's not punchy in the face. It's a pretty mellow...
Sounds like it's like malty kind of...
Yeah. I can see the similarities between this and the 394, though. So I can see how this is a double version of that.
Okay.
Because it has a lot of those similar flavors. There's a little bit of pine and earthiness.
The home brewer in me wondering, when you take that regular recipe that obviously you said you had before that was solid, how do you take something like that and do you just like increase the grain bill? Do you just add more grain so it gets more sweetness? Do you add honey to it? You know, how do you bump up that alcohol?
Yeah. Adding some sort of extra amount of fermentable sugars, bring up the body a little bit, increase the alcohol. But then with that, you still want to balance it, so you want to put in a little bit more hops. But yeah, I mean, is it if it's a double? Because there's the double slash imperial. Is there a difference between the two? We've talked about this a number of times on the show. And is it double because they doubled it? But you'd think if they doubled the recipe that it would be even bigger, because when you double something, it's going to be big.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just, and it's not necessarily doubling the percentage, because I think that the 394 is 6%, and this is 9%, so you're not necessarily doubling the ABV either.
Right.
But,
I mean, 6% is pretty high, too.
That's high, yeah. That's high for a pale.
Yeah.
So with this... The Imperial version, it could just be that because it reached and went over that kind of set ABV, which I usually think is like 7.5%, 8%. Like once you get into that, then you can consider it an Imperial.
Agreed.
but yeah, this... It's funny because I'm thinking of other San Diego beers, not just the 394, but other beers from San Diego breweries that I've had that are very similar to this as far as some of those flavors that I'm getting, those fruity flavors. But it's not tropical. Which, to me, a lot of San Diego beers use whatever hops it is, Mosaic, or there's certain like tropical hops that a lot of the San Diego breweries use in their IPAs in particular that I... will drink and go, this totally tastes like San Diego to me. Peterport does that. Green Flash does that. Ballast Point, that a lot of these San Diego breweries, that it's almost like they're pulling from the same, recipes where they put these same type of hops in. But I've had other San Diego beers that had this type of flavor too, which is this kind of like pit fruit mixed with a little bit of pine and citrus.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily tropical, but it's almost like native San Diego fruits. You know what now, I mean?
See, you guys have you brought this up before. Like, I think this would be a great show idea. I always like to like call my own bluff and say, oh, can I really tell the difference between an East Coast IPA and a West Coast IPA? You know, let's take the label off of
totally
a Dogfish 60 or like a Dirt Wolf, you know, Victory Dirt Wolf, and let's compare it to a Green Flash or, you know, something that's like Ballast Point, and, you know, blind tasting East versus West, pick it out and say, oh, okay. And, I don't know, just to test yourself to see if you could find, oh, well, this one's malt, more malty, or this one's got that, you know, that that piney, that, you know, that fruit sort of lingering flavors. Is it really that different, or am I just thinking that it's different? It'd be fun.
Or you know ahead of time, so you kind of have that preconceived judgment or that preconceived notion before you're drinking it. You already know, well, I'm drinking a...
Well, it's the East Coast, a blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I'm drinking a Sam Adams, so I'm going to expect these type of flavors. You know,
yep.
Which there are certain breweries that hopefully I would be able to recognize, which I, you know, think that I do sometimes, but I haven't done this blindly, where I drink a certain brewery and go, oh, this is totally along these lines, like Lagunitas or New Belgium. You know, I'll drink a lot of their beers and I'll go, this is totally, they all use the same kind of yeast or something, because they all have the same kind of profile with all their different beers. And, you know, Anderson Valley and Stone, you know, there's certain breweries that kind of have this vibe and feel and flavor profile.
Yep.
But I hope that I would be able to do that too. You know, like, hey, stick a Pacific Northwest beer in front of me and don't tell me it's a Pacific Northwest beer, for me to see if I can guess that, oh yeah, it's totally from Oregon or from Washington State or something. Or no, this is a totally a New England beer, or this is totally a beer from Michigan or something like that, you know.
Right. Nah, it would be cool to
There you go, Tony. There's an idea for you for one of your Tony Leone projects.
The Tony Leone project. We'll see.
The Tony Leone project. Coming right here, soon. Beer Coasters podcast.
You heard it first. This is it. Yeah, and I'll tell you right now, I'm looking at the bottle, and I'm pretty sure it's the one that you have. This is a sweet. This is a sweet-ass bottle. Yeah, that is awesome.
And yeah, it's got the gold print on it. Yeah, it's got Tony.
If you guys are listening to it on the interwebs here, I know we're not doing YouTube, but Google the Alesmith 394 Hall of Fame Imperial Pale Ale, and just look at the bottle that comes up. It's a beautiful, like, bomber-style bottle, 22, and it's got a nice kind of gold lettering and logo of Tony Gwynn in his batting stance, and the Alesmith logo. It's just a very cool logo with a Hall of Fame banner hanging over it. Awesome.
Yeah. This is definitely a limited edition. When I heard that they had these, I ran over to the brewery and I picked up a bottle, and it was freaking $28 for this one. So. So I'm hoping that, you know, this ends up well.
Is that why you're sweating over there?
Or? Yeah.
Well, I wasn't supposed to say anything.
Yeah. So, food pairing, dude, I don't know.
What do you do?
Sandwich.
Obviously.
a ballpark dog. You know, maybe.
Kielbasa dog.
Yeah. With some onions and some relish.
San Diego onions and some spicy West Coast mustard. Not that East Coast shit.
Alesmith does have a line of barbecue sauce, I think. I think they actually have a line of Tony Gwynn barbecue sauce.
Parrot.
Google that while you're online, Tony. For food pairing, I'm so out of this. It's been so long since we've done a show, and I've thought about this kind of stuff, but I think that I think sausage, like you said, kielbasa. I don't know that kind of sausage, but I'm thinking more of like a bratwurst or something like that. Something that's not too, because this is pretty mellow. It's got a lot of fruit flavors, but it's not, it doesn't need to have anything to compete with it too much.
Yep.
So something light, you know, like a Polish sausage or something like that, I think would work. Maybe some spicy mustard, you know?
I mean, with something as bold as the flavors that you're talking about, something that's malty, that has that much booze, that has that much sweetness to it, seems like there's a lot going on with the beer. You'd want something that you can go one of two ways. You could do something simple and say that, you know, I just want flavors
and
that aren't really
good. Let the beer shine.
Yeah, let the beer shine through. Or you get something that's a little bit of a, like a spice or some heat that can, the maltiness can kind of, you know, douse the flame. Every time I was watching a master pairings with Dr. Bill, and one of the pairings that he did was spicy Thai food with a double IPA, and he said it's a great combination. And these, even like, he's like, you get this like milk chocolate flavor, and it's weird because you do get weird flavor coming out of, like, you know, a spicy beer and, like, you know, this Thai like food made with like coconut milk, and out of that you get chocolate.
Oh yeah,
it's very cool. So I could thing working.
Yeah, I could see some spicy, not sweet spicy, not like a sweet barbecue sauce spiciness, but something like maybe a Cajun or something like that, where it was like a rub, like a spicy rub or something. I think it might work too. Yeah.
Yeah. Check out the show notes, because there definitely is a Tony Gwynn sweet barbecue sauce there.
I've seen it at the grocery store here in town.
Sweet brandy barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right.
So, yeah, there you go. Alesmith.com is their website. This is the Hall of Fame Imperial San Diego Pale Ale in honor of the late, great Tony Gwynn. And, all the proceeds, when you buy a bottle of this, proceeds go to his new museum that they're going to be opening here in San Diego. So, very cool.
Tony and Alicia Gwynn Foundation.
There you go, yeah. Tony and Alicia Gwynn, yep. Cool, thanks, Tony.
You're welcome. I have the Beer Advocate users here and Untapped.
Dude, with all my internet issues, I didn't bring up Untapped and this stuff, so thank you.
I got you. So Beer Advocate users, there is no score. There is only 10 reviews right now.
Wow.
So, no, there's just nothing. Just nothing. So,
can't sway. I wonder how many bottles they made.
It's sounds like it's fairly limited. If they only have 10 here on their website, it's probably fairly limited.
Because I've had this bottle for 2 months now.
Okay.
About that long, a month and a half, 2 months is when I got it.
Probably a couple hundred.
So it's been out. Yeah.
And then for Untapped, the Untapped users rate this a 4.17 out of 1,934 ratings.
Nice.
Popular places to have this are the El Cadijo in, I don't know where this is, Herida. I'm killing it. So this is when the West Coast people need to be pronouncing things. Where's Crazy Dave? He's probably, he's shaking his head right now. He's like, who's this Tony guy? This is East Coast guy off the show. Here's some ones. Then Arcadia Yacht Club in Phoenix, Arizona is another popular location. And Mel's at 22.
Did it say a yacht club in Phoenix, Arizona?
That's what it says. I'm just the messenger. And Mel's at 22 in Cooperstown, New York.
Nice.
Speaking of New York, that's the jersey that I'm wearing. So let's go to the East Coast so I can drink some beers, eh?
Let's do it.
All right.
Aces and Ales, Las Vegas' premier craft beer destination. With 22 beers on tap and over 80 rare bottles, you can even get growler fills. Go to BeerCoastersPodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. That's Aces and Ales, now with two locations. Visit acesandales.com for more information. All killer, no filler.
Now batting for Hartford, Beer Coaster, Tony.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to my tasting flight. This is Tony from Hartford, Connecticut. Tonight, I'm going to be drinking the Victory Summer Love. Victory
Summer Loving happens so fast.
Boop, 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 boop.
I'm sure you've used that number in some auditions, haven't you?
I was in Greece once. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, you were?
I was in Greece. Back in high school, I was Kanicki. For those that know Greece, I was Kanicki.
I don't know Greece well.
You don't know Greece?
No.
Come on.
And I was in high school drama class, too.
Dude, come on. Greece is a
We didn't do Greece
popular.
When I was there.
No?
No.
That's a fairly popular one.
Anyway. It was like the year or two after I left high school, I found out that they ended up doing Greece, so.
You missed out.
Yeah.
So Victory Brewing, they are out of, they've been brewing since February 15th, 1996. They're out of Downingtown, Pennsylvania. Their website is victorybeer.com. And a little research when I was checking them out, they kind of have that cool classic brewing story where you have two buddies that were friends from elementary school, and they remained friends over the years. And then in 1985, they both got beer kits as presents and went for it, enjoyed what they were making, and really just kind of took off from there. So it started in 85, and by 1996, they had established Victory Brewing, which is pretty cool. Their first year when they were open, knowing the people that I know around here, people that try to start up nano breweries, with 3-barrel, 5-barrel, sometimes 15-barrel systems, this is still a good amount. But their first year, they produced almost 2,000 barrels. They said 1,700 barrels in their first year of brewing.
Wow.
And now, in 2014, the last time they updated it, they said after their expansion, they're now up to 125,000 barrels
a year.
So try that on for size.
Nice.
All right. And I'll be drinking out of my shout out to my friends over at Otter Creek. Mike Gerhardt,
Otter Creek
Brewmaster, my fresh sliced can glass, because it's summer love, and you got to drink things out of the can. You know, it just feels right.
Yeah. Have you seen the Tallboy can glasses?
The Tallboy can? I have not.
It's the same glass can, but it's a Tallboy version.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be handy because I couldn't pour my full beer in there, and I almost spilled all over my desk.
You almost pulled a mic and spilled it over your desk.
Almost. Let's see. Can we get it all? I was going to say, okay. This one's for Crazy Dave. Can we get it all in there? I don't know. That's what she said. Yeah. That's for you, Crazy Dave. All right. Wow, this is clear. Woo. This is very clear. You can see right through the glass. It's light. It's fizzy yellow. Fizzy yellow. Whole lot of fizz. Can you see that going? I don't know if you can. It's going crazy.
I can't see
right
the fizz.
I got about.
I like the glass, though. It's a pretty sweet glass.
Yeah. Fresh slice. Nice little can glass there. Anywho, that's for the people that watch the YouTube, which we aren't putting this up on YouTube, so that's just for YouTube. But for those that are listening, I have to describe this beer. Fizzy yellow, very light straw color, whole lot of carbonation, almost like it's like champagne bubbles going. It's really bubbling. I got about a Yeti finger of head. Pillowy, fluffy.
What kind of beer is this?
Oh, I didn't give any ingredients. What am I thinking? This is my first rodeo. This is a golden ale. Oh, they even gave the style. Man. What's going on? Where am I? Okay. Summer Love Ale. It's a golden ale. They said they use imported two-row German malts. For the hops, they have whole flower, Tettnang, Simcoe, and Citra hops. And this clocks in at a ABV of 5.2.
There we go. Sounds like a good summer beer.
Summer beer. Very light. Very hard to get any smells out of this. Very light, biscuity.
Try using your right nostril. It usually works for me.
There it is. See, I usually go left. Actually, it's funny you say that. I usually do this.
Yeah, I usually go to the right. I am right nostril dominant.
You know, it's got that imported funkiness to it. Almost smells kind of stale. Almost has a pilsner smell to it.
Like a skunky?
A little bit.
That sucks.
No, it's not like it's a bad skunky. I mean, pilsner's got that imported smell. So it's not that the beer is skunky. It's got that imported, I don't want to say skunky, but yeah, it's got the imported smell. Almost, and this is total extreme, but if you smell like a Heineken, it's got that just skunk, you know, it's...
Yeah.
But this one is not that offensive, you know, it's a little bit there, but and there's like that sweetness and kind of that biscuity sort of smell to it as well, but... Enough about that. Let me get in there. Taking a sip, yeah. Yeah, it's very clean. This is definitely one of those beers that you could buy a 12-pack, throw some in a cooler, and, you know, hang out on a back porch, grill, play some lawn games, maybe some... do you guys have
cornhole.
Cornhole, some can jam. Do you have can jam out there?
Can jam?
Can jam is... my new thing. It's fantastic. It's you have like two almost like
how the hell do you have time for can jam?
Well, I do enjoy cornhole too. That is also enjoyable. And people that don't know either one of these games are like, all right, I didn't realize that with this kind of podcast. They're talking about cornhole and can jam.
I don't know. Tony spent some time on the inside.
We knew he did theater. I guess I was right.
Me and Gina are watching Wet Hot Crazy Summer right now.
Oh, the Netflix show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was a movie originally, and I didn't know that back in 2001.
Right.
And I never saw it, and then now they're doing a
Netflix show. Camp. Yeah.
Same cast.
Same cast, but before it actually aired.
But, awesome. the first day of camp, instead of the movie takes place on the last day of camp.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And the whole theater thing that they do in that. Yeah, it's great.
Solid. So that's another plug. So, yeah, Wet Hot American Summer on Netflix. Check it out. But this is great. This is one of those beers that is very, like I said, it has that clean sort of taste. There's not a whole lot going on. There's some mild grainy sweetness, a little bit of biscuity sweetness in there, but... Other than that, it kind of gets out of the way. You just want to keep drinking it. There's really it's hard to describe.
Seems like that'd be the kind of beer that would go best in a can.
Yeah.
You know that you can like drink from the can. You know, you just crack it and just you know, hey, we're just chilling on the dock or on the boat, yep. And we're just throwing them back. No big deal.
I'm going to a wedding this weekend, and I definitely plan on packing a cooler And now it's the end of the summer, so this is actually, I had this a couple weeks ago, so this is going to be kind of hard to find, but something along these lines. Get a cooler, get some ice, throw something like this, low, you know, 5.2. You know, this, and what's cool about this too is that this is kind of one of those beers that if you're hanging out with people that like something a little bit, has a little bit more flavor to it, and you're hanging out with people that are the, you know, Heineken or Coors Light kind of drinkers, this is something that everybody just gets along. And yeah, that's always the kind of beers that I enjoy introducing people to, because when you go to a picnic, you know, maybe if you don't have to provide beer for everybody, but if you know that there's going to be different kinds of beer drinkers, you know, maybe you keep the Deepas and something a little special off to the side, but for the most part, you bring something like this and say, hey, why don't you try this? Because they always go to their standbys. They always grab their, you know, their Coors Light, or they grab, you know, something that they're used to, their Pabst, or, you know, what have you. They would probably not grab this because this looks very craft beery, and craft beer is weird. I don't like craft beer. I don't like things that are hoppy. Well, this isn't hoppy. This is clean, crisp. It's got flavor for those that like it, and for those that don't, would say, hey, you know what? This isn't that bad. And then maybe they'll recognize the name Victory, so they'll maybe try something else from Victory. And that's right. How you get them.
That's how you get them. Yeah, I was, over the summer, I went back to Michigan for a family reunion, and it's huge, huge family. So it's a giant reunion. They have it every 2 years. And there's quite a few beer drinkers there, and they all—it's like they all know me as the beer guy. So when they all went to Costco to pick up, you know, beer and stuff, they made sure to get not the Bud Light and not the Coors Light. So they got, you know, a New Belgium mix pack with it was all canned, so that was good. And then they got a Sierra Nevada mix pack and stuff, and they were all. All these people were drinking it. Everybody was like, I was like impressed. I'm like, yeah, these people are down with some craft beer, you know, and no worries. People were straight up drinking. And then one of the guys shows up with like his Amber Bock and and whatever. He wouldn't touch any of the other stuff. But I was like, see, this is pretty cool. You know, I'm in a crowd of people that are willing to. But and then in that New Belgium pack, there was. You know, there was like a Pilsner and yeah, there was some Fat Tire and there was a lot of really easy drinking, cross, what do you call it?
Not aggressive, unoffensive.
Yeah. Stuff like styles of beer that a lot of the normal average everyday beer drinker is used to, like Pilsners and stuff like that, like the Golden Ale, you know, where it's a lot lighter, low ABV, nothing too poppy, nothing too in your face and stuff. And so, I mean, that all that stuff worked. So it's cool. I like seeing that kind of thing. I like seeing when people are, you know, I mean, I don't know them well enough. I don't hang out with those people well enough, but it was just cool to see that, you know.
I always, you know, when I would visit my parents, they would always have their standbys. And they would, my dad was a Honey Brown drinker. He'd liked his Dundee Honey Brown. That's what he drank. And, you know, of course he has his vino and stuff too, but I would come back and say, you know, I drop off a six pack of, you know, some like Hooker Munich, which is great, light, easy drinking, similar to this. And next thing you know it, I go back and he's like, oh, I picked up some more of that Hooker. Cause he realizes that like,
nice.
He recognizes the name and he liked it. So he went back and got some more and, hey, have you had this, you know, they have an Oktoberfest too, and I'm like, oh, like, you know, I know that, but you know, now he's looking for it, and he's trying it, and he's like, this is pretty good, and now he's looking at different Oktoberfest, and go back, and he's showing me things, which is great. I love when people kind of can expand and open up and try new things, especially when it comes to beer. Yeah,
my sister, she's not a big, I mean, she'll drink beer, but she's not. You know, she doesn't like IPA, she's nothing hoppy.
Yep.
And she likes fruit beers, which I don't want to sound cliche, but that's what she likes. She will dig on a fruit beer. And for Thanksgiving, I brought a bottle of Lindeman's. It wasn't the Frambois, it was a different one. And she was like, whoa, this is really good. I really like this. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, she's texting me a picture of another bottle of Lindeman's.
Nice.
That she picked up at the store. So now she's in. So now she knows that she likes lambics. So now I'm like, okay, well, now I need to find some craft breweries in America that brew some lambics that I can say, hey, check these guys out. But, you know, there's nothing you got to worry about is price, because you don't want to be like, you know, here's a six-pack of this lambic that's... I don't even know if you could find six-packs of lambics. I think you pretty much have to get, you know...
The framboise.
750s right. or, you know, the odd-shaped bottles that are kind of expensive. But there you go. Now I know that she likes fruit beers, but she's more of a lambic type, just a, you know, a Sam Adams blueberry porter or whatever he does.
And that I think that's the that's
whatever he does, yeah. Whatever that guy Sam Adams.
That's one of the misconceptions that people have, and I'll get back to my tasting flight in a second. I know we're off on a tangent, but it's one of the misconceptions that when people do, when people want to try craft beer, they say, "Oh, I really don't like hoppy things." They always think that craft beer is hoppy beer. I'm like, well, no, there's other things that are out there, which is like the lambics. You know, people just don't know that those are out there, and you try it, and you say, "Wow, like I." This is one of the topics that I wanted to bring up, and maybe I will later on the Tony Leone project. But it's the idea that, you know, if people come
Dude,
to
– I love it. I think it's going to work.
It's happening. It's happening.
The Tony Leone project.
Yeah. Hashtag TLP. when you,
it's going to be on
– it's going to be trending tomorrow.
TLC or something. It's going to be the – new reality show, the Tony Leone Project.
When you
in between him doing theater and marching band and working full time and playing freaking Can Smash or whatever it is.
That's a whole other game, but no, we'll leave that out. We'll leave it for another show. It's always – I always love – and you were just saying too, like, you know, people are like, oh, Toby's coming. He's the beer guy. We're going to make sure we get some New Belgium. When I go out to a restaurant and someone hands me the menu, when it has like more than like 8 things on draft, and they say, I don't even know. What? Just order me something. And you say, okay. And you pick them out something, maybe a Pilsner or a Blind Ale that's not too hoppy, or a Lambic, a Porter, something that – depending on what you think they might like – and they try it, and they go, oh, okay. Or like a Belgian wit is usually a good standby. A lot of times when I go out, people just don't know what they like. They'll see Allagash White or, you know, something like a nice wit beer. And, okay, great, thanks. And now they know next time they go out, like oh, I drink Blue Moon. What do you think I'll like? Well, you'll probably like Allagash White. You know, things like that. I love when people do that. And then they try it, and sometimes they don't always like it, and then they pass it. They pass on it, and they'll say, how about something else? But they're willing to try new things, and I love when people say, you know, take their first sip, and they look it back, and they're like, wow, is this beer? I'm like, yeah, it's beer.
Right.
There's a lot of things to try out there. So when someone says, I don't like beer, I said, challenge accepted, because I think I could find you a beer that you like. Unless you're medically unable to drink beer, and it blows up your stomach, I can almost bet you 9 times out of 10 I'll be able to find you a beer that you will like. Bring it on. I got it.
Yep.
All right.
So, if have you done a food pairing yet?
I have not done food pairing. Let's see. Where this is the baseball show.
Because I got your ratings here. I'll give off your ratings. You just have to do a food pairing.
Food pairing, I would love to have this with, you know, one of the articles that I read that my buddy had one time in Sports Illustrated was the best and worst thing to eat at each baseball stadium. So there was something, I think it was from Shea Stadium, where the Mets used to play, and they said, do not get the nachos, because the nacho cheese frighteningly resembles the orange tinge of the paint that is on like the railings along the seats along the field. So stay away from the nachos and stuff like that. But the best thing to get at Yankee Stadium, and I make it a point to get this every time I go is the Primo sweet Italian sausage with peppers and onions, and that is what I'm pairing with this beer.
Nice.
There you go.
Boom. So you're keeping it real, keeping it with the theme and all that?
That's it. That's how I roll.
I appreciate it. For ratings, geez, how long is this tasting flight? God.
Seriously.
On Untappd, the Summer Love from Victory Brewing Company comes in at a 3.44 out of 72,031 ratings. Holy crap. And the Beer Advocate users give this an 86, which is very good. Nothing from the bros?
Nothing from the bros. But you can click this send samples. What happens when I click this? Send samples. Oh, I can send them beer. Okay.
We should have one of those buttons on our website.
That's what you need.
BeerCoastersPodcast.com.
Send samples.
Send us beer. Contact us. Send us beer. I couldn't get the summer love. You know, I couldn't. No love.
No love
out Coast, here in San Diego from Victory.
There will
I can
be
get
something.
Some victory.
There will be something coming out there.
I'm still waiting. I'm waiting for Tony Leone's secret package.
It's going to happen.
Not what you're thinking. Not what you're thinking. Not that kind of podcast.
Welcome to the Beer Coasters After Hours show, where we play Can Jam and share each other's packages.
Okay. Change the subject. All right.
Okay.
Gemini Lounge, a chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to BeerCoastersPodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
Boston, Beer Coaster, Mike.
Hello, folks. This is Beer Coaster Mike. Welcome to my previously recorded tasting flight. That's right. I missed the Beer's Ball episode, but decided to do this little tasting flight. Recording, and hopefully Toby will be able to edit it into the Beer's Ball episode so the listeners won't even know that I missed the show. Beer I'm doing this week is from Boulevard Brewing Company, and it's called Pop-Up Session IPA. This is from Boulevard Brewing Company out of Kansas City. The ABV on this beer is 4.3%. And this is a year-round offering from them. I'm going to crack it in cans. Ooh. So, yeah, unfortunately, I've been moving and things have been pretty crazy. So our schedule, as Toby's probably mentioned in the last few episodes here, it's been difficult for us to sit down and record, so I hope this will do for this week. So it's kind of a light golden color. I got about 2 fingers ahead. Big soapy head on there. On the nose. It's a pale honey color, and it's funny because the first whiff I got was kind of a citrusy honey, some apples, and Yes, there's actually a lot of aroma coming through. Very floral. I'm going to take a sip. I just can't wait anymore. It's been a while since I've done this. Cheers.
Taking a sip, yeah!
All right. So, like I mentioned, this is a session IPA, and it tastes like exactly that. It's very light in body. The aroma, it was full of all kinds of really bright, fresh aromas. But the taste is, it's very light. It's almost like an IPA light. I know we don't like to talk about light beers here in the show that much, but it's a very, very, very drinkable IPA. It's very light in body. It's actually has a tiny bit of maltiness in the middle. Wish this was just a little bit colder. It's pretty good. It's like when, you know, it's one of those beer lovers kind of session beers, you know, like it's got all the hop aromas that you're looking for, but it's something you can kind of drink all day. This is a good kind of barbecue beer. Speaking of barbecue, we're pairing with this. I don't know if we were supposed to go with this old baseball-themed fare. I could go for like a, you know, one of the soft pretzel, hot dog, you know, regular baseball food. I can picture being at the game and drinking a beer like this. I want to give you a few ratings here. Pop Up comes in at 3.52 out of 29,557 ratings. Wow. And the popular locations to drink this beer are the Pitcher's Pub in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, McSwiggin's, that's a great name for a pub, in Hoboken, New Jersey, and the Triangle Tavern, also in Philly. And the Beer Advocate users rate this an 85, which is very good. Well, there you have it, folks. There's my sneaky little tasting flight trying to get in on the Beers Ball episode here. So I hope you enjoyed it. And you'll hear from me soon. Next week. Cheers.
You know, drinking beer and being social is a big part of what we do here at the Beer Coasters Podcast. So we'd invite you to join us at any number of our internet social websites. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, Untapped, Google+. We got our own channel on the YouTubes, and even Pinterest. Hot damn, y'all! Change_16 says,
people try to prove they're better than a person so hard, bruh. I'm just worried if I'ma have enough money to buy beer this weekend.
Call for alcohol. Ninth inning. Bottom of the ninth. Two outs.
Just a bit outside.
Just a bit. Ball four. Ball eight. Ball 12. Vaughn has walked the bases loaded. I don't know how many layoff pitches these close.
Bob Uecker.
Up your butt, Joe Boo.
Yeah, because I'm Bob Uecker. Yeah, Major League. Just look up Major League and just quote that. Just put a bunch of those in.
Yeah.
Up your butt, Joe Boo. Bartender! Joe Boo needs a refill. All right. So,
classic.
Toby, would you like to go first?
That's... Okay, can we get a quick rundown of favorite baseball movies?
We absolutely can. All right, quick rundown.
Major League comes in at number two for me.
Two?
Let's do three.
Top three. You go.
Top three.
You go.
The Natural.
Okay.
Major League.
Okay.
And Sandlot.
Ooh. Ooh, you took my sleeper. Alright.
And I might have forgotten one in there, but...
I know, it was kind of quick there.
Yeah.
I mean, I gotta say it. Sandlot is definitely... Whew. I might have to go Major League number one. Let's get that out of the way.
Ooh.
I mean... You also got Field of Dreams, but...
Yeah.
You know, if it's a Sunday and it's 2 o'clock and I don't feel like doing anything and I'm flipping through the channels and Major League is on, I'm going to watch Major League.
Oh, but yeah.
If I flip through and I see Field of Dreams, I'm like, oh, I remember this movie. It was nice. And then I might go see what else is on. Like, it's a good movie. It's a good movie, but I'm not going to sit and watch Major League. I'm locked in.
It's, yeah.
And you can instantly quote it. It's like the Goonies of baseball movies.
Whoa.
You know?
Whoa.
I went there.
That was, you went there.
So, top three will say Major League 1, Sandlot 2, see, 3, you could go.
This is the best last call ever.
I mean, you could say Rookie of the Year. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
You could say Angels in the Outfield, but that's a little too Disney for me. But it's, again, you know.
It's pretty Disney.
Tony Danza, pitching. You know, you stood up out of your couch and you started flapping your wings. You know, and when
I did that in Natural, not in Angels in the Outfield.
When someone tells you you got an angel with you, then you stand up and you flap your wings. That's it.
Wow.
Don't ask questions. I don't even know. Yeah, I guess because I guess we'll go with Rookie of the Year. That's number three. But it's tough because we're flying through these right now. Bill Durham, we didn't talk about that one.
Yeah, Bill Durham's alright.
We didn't talk about Field of Dreams, I think could be an easily number three. Naturally, you mentioned. Awesome movie. Three on the spot. Ratings.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have ratings to do. The beers we drank on the show. We did drink some beer on the show, right?
At some point, we drank beer.
Yeah.
We only had 2 beers on the show, which is great because this might be the longest show ever. But...
And we might. We may have heard from Beer Coaster Mike. I think he snuck in somewhere.
Did he?
Yeah, he didn't join us tonight, but he's in there somewhere in the show.
I think you're right. Yeah. I thought I saw someone walk in.
He pinch hit for something.
In the corner, like there was someone in the corner, like, you know, just drinking a beer in the dark. Didn't ask questions, but hey,
right?
Yeah, pinch hitting.
So for the Alesmith Hall of Fame Imperial 394 Ale, I really, really like this. I'm gonna give it a 4.5. Not a full 5. What it's missing is... I'm not sure exactly what it's missing. I really do like it. I've enjoyed it. It's lots of great flavors. It's not too much in your face. It's not too sticky, sweet, whatever. It's nice. So yeah, 4.5. I really dig it.
Cool.
I'm glad it turned out well.
Yeah. I drank the Victory Summer Love. I'm going to give this beer a solid 3. And I'm going to be a little bit... I have the tendency to always give beers 4s. If I like it a little more, you know, oh, this is a really good beer, I'll give it a 4.5. If I think it's an okay beer, I go 3.5. But I'm trying to wrangle it in here. I'm going to say 3. And it's not a bad 3. It's a very solid 3. This is one of those beers that you can have, you can drink, but to be honest, it's kind of forgettable. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a clean, crisp, fantastic beer to have during the summer. You just mow the lawn, you're having some friends over, you're having a cookout. This is right alongside, you know, a 12-pack of Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. Great, great beer that is a little more on the hoppier side. Maybe, you know, your friends that are coming over aren't into hops. You go with the Summer Love. It's a nice blonde ale that I would absolutely recommend to anyone. So for that reason, I'm giving it a 3. It's a good, solid beer, but very clean, very crisp, and somewhat forgettable. But it probably nails the style. Yeah, it's not, you know, not everything's an imperial or a double, you know, hop-loaded, you know, hop bomb.
Yeah.
Cool. Shoutouts.
Shout out. On Untapped, I'll give a shout out to Charlie Thorsten. I'll give a shout out to RKP Stogie, which is Rick from the Land of the Ice and Snow. Haven't heard from him in a long time. Rick, where you at? Hit us up with some backwash. Also give a shout out to Mel Mann on Untapped. And on Twitter, I'm going to give a shout out to Jared Easley, Leigh Gill, Tonioni, Brew Studs, and Crowd Brewed. And I want to give a shout out to the late, great Tony Gwynn, Alesmith Brewing Company, Beer Coaster Mike, and all of our listeners out there. Thanks for sticking around. It's season 7. We just got started. It's going to be pretty interesting, to say the least. Going to be interesting.
Off mic, Toby and I were doing a lot of talking of some ideas that we had for the season, and it's going to be a fun one. We got a bunch of things coming at you with reviews, interviews, a couple other ideas we got brewing. So stay tuned. Stay tuned.
Nice pun there.
You like that? Like what I did there?
So, and I have a feeling you'll hear a lot more from Tony Leone, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
When he's in between playing cornhole and theater and hour-long commute to work and every little spare minute he has, this guy's got some energy, people. It's because he doesn't have any kids.
Non-stop. Quite true.
So, a tip of the hat to Tony Leone. Thanks for throwing your hat in the ring and offering lots of help. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I got a couple shout outs over here. I have on Twitter we have Jared Easley, Leigh Gill, and hey, look at that. The Beer Coasters favorited the tweet I was mentioning. Shout out. And Mark Sear also. Shout out to you, buddy. Thanks for the favoriting there in the Twitterverse. On Untapped, shout out to Steve Ramondi, Matt G, and Carl Wenzel. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for checking it out. Make sure you listen to the show. And also, I want to give a shout out to my friends over at I had another beer that I was thinking about reviewing tonight, and Toby and I like to talk, so we ran out of time, so we'll just have to do it another time. But shout out to my friends over at Black Hog Brewing in Oxford, Connecticut. They are, as of this Sunday, celebrating their 1-year anniversary of being a brewer. So happy 1-year anniversary, guys. Their brewmaster, Tyler Jones, who is formerly from the Portsmouth Brewing Company. Portsmouth Brewing Company in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. He learned under a lot of fantastic brewers like Tom Mott, I believe his name is. And he just comes to Connecticut with a just plethora of knowledge. And he's, in 1 year's time, they're putting out beers that are fantastic. They cover a lot of ground. They're covering beers that are easy to drink, that you could drink, that are 5%. I think they have a couple 4% beers. They have like an easy rider, their rye IPA. And they also are coming out with their latest release called Hogwater, which is a DIPA, or another one called Piglet.
Hogwater.
They have sour beers called Disco Pig and this whole Disco Pig line. So they're trying a whole bunch of different things. So hats off to them for just continuing to make great beer in 1 year's time, and I'm excited to see what the future has for them. So cheers, guys.
I want to give another quick shout out to Fathom Bistro. I went there recently. I was excited to check them out. Fathombistro.com is their website, and basically it's a small bistro on a pier. It's a bait and tackle shop with a bistro in San Diego Bay, and they have 15 beers on tap, most of them local, some are not so local, but all of them are pretty much craft beer, and they make their own sausages there.
Seriously.
Which is weird, because you'd think they're on a pier, so they would have, like,
seafood.
You know, a bunch of seafood and fish tacos and stuff like that, but now not so much. They do make their own sausages, and they have 15 craft beers on tap, which is amazing, and you just sit right there on the pier, and people are fishing and stuff like that. And it's on Shelter Island, which is a tiny little section of San Diego Bay. It's near Humphreys, which is a big concert venue, right across the street from it, basically, and it's just awesome. I just think that, like, I went there recently, and I was just blown away by how cool it is. It's just a cool little spot, you know. So, anyway, shout out Fathom Bistro. I'll be going back.
Very nice. All right, so, hey, thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for being on the show, and cheers to an interesting season 7.
Here's to season 7, buddy.
Cheers.
Cheers.
And what do we say when we end?
Paul's America! A little bigger than a Brufus sausage finger.
Yeah.
Well, I do enjoy cornhole too.
I'm still waiting. I'm waiting for Tony Leone's secret package.